Kelly is leading a discussion and training on leading Bible study, small group and stuff. So he asked if Peg and I would step in and teach on hospitality. And we appreciate the opportunity to do that. With the leadership of the church, have come to the conclusion that we may be a fit for the hospitality ministry here. And we're in process of that. And one thing I want to encourage you is part of that process is to clear the air and to make sure that we can move ahead forward is if there is some type of offense in our background where we may have offended you, part of this process of going through this leadership is that we meet and we get that taken care of. So if that does exist, please, come to us. And, God is prepared to help us work all that stuff out. And, that's what we want to do. We want to obey him and allow him that opportunity then to continue to build his church and to make it stronger. So, okay, here we go. There are handouts over here on the chair back there if you don't have one. Please feel free to get one, and it's not going to be as bad as it looks. There's a lot of material in it, but a lot of it is just for your reference later on. What we'll do this morning is we want open discussion in this time. We'll be walking through some things, and then we've got some things where we want you to break up into a small group, like 3 to 5 people. You might want to be doing that right now, just kind of figuring out who's going to be in your small group. And so we don't have to take any more time to do that. I'll be leading some of it. Peg will be leading some of it. So I'm looking forward to our interaction and our time together. So why don't we pray and we'll get rolling. Father, we come before you in great weakness. We come before you in desperate need of your strength and of your power in our lives. And Father, to be hospitable can only come from you because hospitality is at the core of your nature. And we thank you that you have extended it to us in a way that we can get to know it from you by spending time with you. And that we can then become conduits and vessels of your hospitality to those within the church, to those who are serving as missionaries, and even to total strangers that we don't even know. So this morning as we open this discussion, Father, we pray for your guidance in it, that you would reveal your truth to us, and that you would just take anything that is of my humanness or Peg's humanness, and that you would bring your truth to bear on that and quiet our words and let yours be known. We praise you and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Peggy.
You just keep that. So, we're going to be in small groups several times throughout the course of this hour. So if you will get into groups of 3, 4, maybe 5 at the absolute most, and start off our discussion by what evidences or what experiences of hospitality have you either been the recipient of or ways that you have shown hospitality, let's say in the past weeks or months. It doesn't matter what your age, your gender, anything. We all have the capacity to be hospitable. So how have you shown hospitality? How have you received hospitality in recent months? Okay, let's hear some of your hospitality experiences. Just throw them out quickly, randomly, or I'll call you by name. Yes. Okay. Okay, so they went out of their way to seek you out and say, what kind of questions or concerns do you have? Yeah? Okay. What else? Giving people rides to the doctor. Okay. Great way to show hospitality. Keep going. Yeah. Cooking meals and bringing them in when you are incapacitated and can't do it so well, don't have the time or the physical capacity. Keep talking. Okay, so like providing childcare. Okay, so financial help to get your kids to camp and then to get them there and back. Great way. Okay, so how do you define hospitality? What's the essence of being hospitable? Steve. Oh, come on. He started to read the definition. How would you define it, the essence of hospitality? Okay, Mick. Okay, be open, be transparent, make people feel comfortable. Okay, what else is essential to true hospitality? Love. So that people, yeah, love is at the core. The love of Christ compels us to be hospitable. Okay? Right. Okay, so receiving people and taking them in, no matter what their circumstance is. It is true. Okay. Anything else before I turn the mic back to Don? Great. Great. Very much other-centered rather than holding on to your own time, your own money, You're focusing in outward to others. Okay, we'll go from there.
Great. Thanks, Peg. One thing I wanted to mention, too, was it's really good for us to be able to meet together with the age continuum that we've got here, if I can use terms like age continuum. Having the high schoolers, middle schoolers involved with us all is a good thing. And so we... You know, when I see you walk in the room, I think, all right. And I think I've encouraged several of you to speak up because you do have something to say. And we want to hear it. So glad that John brought you guys in this morning. And we just thank God for his bringing our church together to glorify him. Here's the dictionary definition of hospitality. And as the quality, Steve was going to use this, but Peg caught him. The quality or disposition of receiving guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, and generous way. And that pretty much lines up with the definition that each of you gave a piece of. And so then there's synonyms for hospitality that I've put up there. And it's pretty obvious that we have a pretty good idea of what hospitality is, what it looks like, what it feels like, the reasons for it, and the purpose for it and stuff. Examples of hospitality, these are the stuff that you already said. So, you know, as we take a pulse beat at Cornerstone of what is our understanding of hospitality, it really looks pretty good. just from our time in discussion this morning. But I think the real question that we want to get to is, where in the world does it come from? Where does hospitality come from? How do we know this? How do we sense this? How do we know when, you know, that when somebody is being hospitable to us, that we know that that's what it is? You know, because we respond to it. One of the things I thought about doing this morning was, you know, just kind of doing the hospitality thing and have everybody get up and shake each other's hands. How do you feel about that when, you know, it comes time in church to, you know, reach out and just shake somebody's hand next to you or something? Does that kind of stir a little knot in your gut sometimes doing that? Yeah. You know, hospitality isn't always easy to do. So we have to ask the question, well, where does hospitality come from? And that's on the next page on your handout. And I didn't even put God's name on there because there's nowhere else it can come from. You know, I think that in some cases, you know, we could go and we could read in evolutional psychology and we could find at some point billions of years ago that hospitality became one of those necessary things for the survival of man. So we could come up, you know, and look at it from that angle. But biblically, there's only one way to look at hospitality, and that's that it comes from God. It's the expression of His natural attributes. It's the culmination of His holiness and His glory. So it's everything that there is about God that is unique to Him, and it's being expressed in an action. So we take a look at His holiness is what He is as God that nobody else is. You know, when we look at God, it's clear that there's nobody else anywhere like Him. You know, as His created beings, we have a form of that. We have, you know, kind of a look of it. But we're not Him. He is totally unique. He's holy. He's separate from everything else. Then His glory, the glory of God is the manifest beauty of His holiness. So here comes that holiness. Here comes that uniqueness. And now it's being manifested in all that He does and all that He's made. So His holiness is His uniqueness, and His glory is His holiness on display. Okay, now this stuff is way over my head. But in the day-to-day, He walks me through and helps me understand it to a degree. So we can come to the conclusion that God does not have to work to be hospitable. The fact is, He is hospitable because of who He is. Okay? So it starts with God. So the question then comes up is, well, what makes up his holy glory? Anybody have any thoughts on that? What makes up that uniqueness and that glory? How do we know that that's there? How do we know that that's what's being expressed to us? That's what I thought. And I still do at times. But the thing that God does is He reveals to us through Scripture His attributes that are, here's 18 names. This is just a start. That holy glory is expressed to us through His Scripture as He reveals Himself in it by His names. So you go through, okay, what is this holiness? What is this uniqueness? What makes Him different than anybody else? Well, you look at the names. You know, He is self-existent. He needs nothing else outside of Himself to exist. That's not true about us. He is faithful. That's not true about us. We have a form of it, but He is without flaw. Our God is holy. He's our sanctifier. Our God is truth. He's our banner. Our God is a gracious provider. Our God is a watchful defender. Our God is a loving master. Our God is all-powerful. He's all-sufficient. Are you hearing it? Are you seeing the holiness? Are you seeing the separateness? It doesn't take long, you know, to look at Him and to see that He is way beyond us. Our God is the supreme sovereign. Our God is unchanging and eternal. He is there. The Lord who is our righteousness. God is eternal. I like this next one, jealousy. God is jealous. That seems wrong, doesn't it? But it's not, because it's a unique jealousy where there's no evil intent. It's a pure passion for what He has created. and it exists in an ongoing, you know, ball of whoever, of whatever's going on in the existence of all these other names that keeps it holy and pure. God of peace and the Lord our shepherd. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do in your small group. Discuss how the characteristics of these names apply to hospitality. Is that clear? Okay? Go ahead. Okay. Let's stop here and let's just get some feedback of how do these characteristics of God's names apply to hospitality. Fire away. Don't make eye contact with me or I'll call on you. I saw you, Josie. Caleb. Yeah, you can just, you know he's there. I mean, this hospitality is going on. You know, you're extending it to one another. And it's the expression of his being within that group of people, whether we recognize that's what it is or not. Yeah, good. What else? Steve? Yeah. So, you know, God within himself is hospitable, but he uses us to express it too, doesn't he? So then we become vessels of his glory to extend to other people. So it's his glory on us, working through us, so we can extend hospitality to one another. Good. Keep going. That's good stuff. Yeah, those people, they wanted us to know so much that, you know, we were Americans and we were supposed to be the ones that have it all. But they wanted to show to us, you know, that they've got something too. You know, we've got, you know, things working for us. And we can show you our generosity as well. It's just part of that, you know, that God has created in us to do, you know, whether we're believers or unbelievers. It still goes on. Good. Blaine. Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, somebody is showing us hospitality by providing something. Do we show them hospitality back by receiving it? You know, have we thought of hospitality in that way? You know, of being gracious to receive it? I don't know that we do. One of the things that we notice on the benevolence fund, when somebody comes in, there's a need, so then we contact them. It's the response is pretty much across the board is, well, boy, I don't know. You know, there's other people that have a greater need than me. And stuff, and in a way that shuts down that form of hospitality from being extended, because, you know, if we're not willing to receive it, then it can't be completed. So, just throwing that out, kind of what some of the stuff we're dealing with benevolence. Anything else, Mike? Yeah, but. You know, to meditate on these names and to put this all together in our head is, well, we'll get to it later. I don't want to jump ahead here. But let's take a look at, you know, if you look in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you see God's tremendous hospitality, because when he's preparing in the first five and a half days, the creation, who is he preparing it for? Us. You know, he sets his whole thing up and then he puts man into it to provide for him. There's his hospitality on us. He's got all this stuff and he's proven to us that he is all these names and that he is trustworthy and we can always depend on him. But then when we get to Genesis 3, think about that a minute, what happens, and we'll get to it later. But let's take a look at another attribute of God that fits into this. The fact that God is triune. Okay, how does hospitality now work between the three persons of the Godhead? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all God, but a separate person, but separate persons. There is otherness in God. God the Father begats or incarnated God the Son in the mutual love and assistance of God the Holy Spirit. The persons of the Trinity in eternity love one another. All three were present and cooperating during the creation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit practice hospitality toward one another. Okay? Here's the next question for your small group. What does God teach us about hospitality in relationships from the relationships among the persons of the Trinity? Do you understand what that question is asking? I'm not sure I worded it real clearly. But how does, you know, the three persons in the Trinity, they're getting along. They're extending hospitality to one another. How does that affect us? Okay? So just kind of think about what goes on within the Trinity. You know, here's the Father sending the Son, you know, to earth to take on flesh. And then the Holy Spirit is there guiding him, with him. How does that all work together and stay hospitable? Okay? Go ahead. Steve's teaching me calculus here. God calculus. So, did you all hear what he said? He's saying that, you know, the Father doesn't, you know, need the Son doesn't need the Father, the Holy Spirit. They're all separate, yet, you know, they're one God. Am I right so far? And what else would you throw in there other than this? Okay. Yeah, they honor each other by not usurping each other's role. So imagine, you know, here's God the Father, and he says to God the Son, okay, here's the plan is you're going to go down there, you're going to take on human flesh, and then you're going to suffer like nobody's ever suffered, and you're going to be hampered with the temptation to become anxious about dying on a cross and me leaving you, abandoning you for a time so that you can, you know, pay the penalty for the sin of mankind. Now, you know, if you were the Son, what might you say to that? I'm God too, you know, so I don't think I really need to be doing this. Can you imagine if that happened? Say it again, I'm sorry. That's right. You know, if that conflict enters into this relationship in the Trinity, what have you got? So there's this hospitality going on towards each other that maintains this unity within God. Now, you know, I can't, it like I said, it's like calculus to me. I can only go so far with that. And then I get lost in it. So then at that point, I've got to take it by faith and live it that way. Peg said the other day when we were talking about this, it's kind of like, you know, the Son is looking out for the welfare of the Father and the Holy Spirit. You know, he's putting their needs equal to or above his own to maintain that interaction. So from this interaction within God, and we see all these attributes in God, are we getting a handle on where does hospitality come from? I mean, because it's right there. Here are some examples of God's hospitality within God. We've talked about it a little bit, but, you know, Jesus goes to the, so the Spirit can come. Jesus goes to the Father. The Spirit guides in truth, speaking only what he hears. The Spirit glorifies Jesus. All that is the Father's belongs to Christ. The Spirit receives from Christ. The Father gives what is asked for in Jesus' name. Jesus came from the Father and returned to the Father. And you look in the Bible and it just goes on and on and on. This hospitality goes from Genesis to Revelation. So, what we need to engage in then is we need to engage in this fact that, okay, hospitality comes from God. It doesn't come from me. I'm a conduit. So how do I engage with God to make this happen? Well, we'll take a look at the impact of God's hospitality on mankind. And this is rather significant, as we all know, because the hospitality within God is a condition for the possibility of creaturely otherness outside of God. So it was this hospitality within God that said, you know, we can go out, we can make creation, we'll, create man, and he'll be in fellowship with us. You know, it's an extension of who he was, and he made us in his image. And he's our source. You know, he's the foundation for all of life and who we are and what we are, what we become. It says God is not threatened by the otherness of creation. Just like within himself, there's no threat of, you know, usurping one another's authority within the Trinity. So God's not going to be threatened by, you know, mankind becoming better than him. One of the things that you see in Isaiah 14 is you see an example of that where Lucifer engages in what I think we would call today modern-day self-esteeming or self-affirmation. Lucifer starts taking a look at who he is, the beauty that he's made with, and instead of giving glory to God and praise to God, he starts saying, you know, I'm kind of beautiful. You know, look at me. In Ezekiel 28, it expands on that. And pretty soon, he's turned all that in on himself, and he starts saying to himself, I can be God. I can, you know, I can do what he does. I should be, you know, above the heavens. Well, that's our first glimpse of this interaction going astray. One of God's creation is now trying to usurp God's authority. God deals with him justly. And then he's cast out from it. He's no longer a part of it. And so, but God was never threatened by that. You know, he has total authority over Lucifer, and he will deal with him in a just and righteous manner. The next thing is, God is not threatened, but he embraces all these things in a hospitable, but he embraces it hospitably in accordance with his nature. You see, whatever comes from the outside that he's created, it never trips him up and knocks him off track of being hospitable. It's continuous. So then, when he created man, and we became his enemy by rejecting his hospitality, just in the same fashion as Lucifer, he remained hospitable. Take a look at Genesis 3 sometime. And, you know, you see Adam and Eve, they're out there, you know, trying to hide, and God's pursuing them. And not only is he pursuing them, he's meeting their needs. The stuff that they've made to cover themselves is inadequate. So then he provides something that's adequate for him. He stays with it. He never quits being hospitable, even in the face of rebellion by what he's created. He just keeps going with it. And then later on we see, where he brings Christ into the picture and says that he is going to bring an enemy, to stand between man and Lucifer on his behalf. And restore him, redeem him. So that hospitality just continues. God is never threatened by it. It's endless. There's no lack of resource ever. Where if you think about, this is kind of a sidetrack, if you think about self-esteem and self-affirmation, what does it take to do that? We sit there and we just come up with things about ourselves, how wonderful we are. But when we look into the face of God, how wonderful we are, it's got a limit to it. And it's limited to what he's done in us, but we pervert it. Okay? So then what does it take at that point then to supply this self-esteem, this self-affirmation? I need to start using you guys to get that. And so then what I do is I come up with some kind of a whatever to get my self-esteem needs met. And then you become my victims in it. Because I'm using you to gain something that I need, and I'm relying on a resource that is limited. And so pretty soon it drains you guys, and you know, then and then I just got to keep using other people. So, you know, it's a far different cry from leaning on the endless resource of that esteem, of that sense of belonging, that affirmation that God has to give us in Jesus Christ. Okay? So, here's examples of hospitality, God to man. These are just some of the verses. But take a look at this. Here's the impact of God's hospitality on mankind. The hospitality of the gospel. Okay? I'll just read a few of these. And listen to them. Let them esteem you. Let them sink deep into the need that you have, you know, to belong, you know, those insecurities, all those things that we have that we're trying to quiet down and fill up in some way with something, you know, to make it work so that we can maintain sanity, I guess, if you want to call it that. But the first one is, I'm now acceptable to God. I'm justified and completely forgiven. I live at peace with Him. Can you take the guilt and the shame of the sins that you've committed and can you apply that to that so that it works? So that when those feelings of guilt and shame come on us, they quiet down in the midst of that resource of what God's given us. Now the next one I'm going to read is, I have received God's Spirit into my life. I can recognize the blessings He's given me. Can we see the difference in our lives from what we were before we came to Christ to what we're becoming? I mean, can we rely on Him to continue that process? Since I have died, I no longer live for myself, but for Christ. Okay, now that's a big one. Because what we're saying is okay, God, I'm giving up my efforts at self-esteem and self-affirmation. And I'm living for You. I'm going to depend on You and trust You to supply that. And I know I'm going to be tempted to cross back into that other. But I want to grow in this. And here's more of them. This is more of the hospitality of the gospel of Jesus Christ to us. He is taking us, as somebody described earlier, in hospitality. It's going to the stranger. And no matter what they look like, no matter what they've done, no matter who they are, this hospitality is extended to them. And that's exactly what God has done to us in Jesus Christ. So that hospitality keeps being poured out to us, and then are we gonna take it or not? Are we gonna by faith live in that? Or are we gonna refuse this hospitality? So the hospitality of the gospel just keeps coming and coming and coming. So what's the impact of God's hospitality on mankind continued? Well, when we become His children, He takes us back into the Genesis 1 and 2 account, and He's restoring that. So, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see Adam and Eve totally dependent on those attributes of God for their well-being, their survival, everything that they need. He's supplying it. God has taken us back and shown us Himself that we can depend on Him, and then we continue to grow in trusting Him for those things. So then we become His conduit. He calls us to holiness. You remember what holiness is? He calls us to be separated out. You know, we're no longer living like the world lives, living, trying to get our self-esteem built up, our self-affirmation, all these things, the way the world is. He's called us, again, to depend on Him. He's calling us out to be separate from the world in that. And then He's calling us to be hospitable. Christian hospitality is an extension of how we interact with God. It trains us to be capable of welcoming guests and strangers, participation in the life of the triune God, becoming holy, shapes and calls us to be His conduits of His hospitality. I'm at my worst on hospitality out in that foyer or anywhere else I go when I'm trying to do it on my own. You know, when I try to put on my woo. You know, hi there, how are you doing? I'm Don Johnston, and it's good to see you. You know, kind of a thing. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But when it's coming out of my flesh instead of coming from the supply of the Spirit, you know, what am I trying to do? Who am I trying to win? You know, so we become this separate person and allowing God to live through us to express that hospitality. The last statement there is hospitality is not simply the practice of a virtue, but is integral to the very nature of Christianity's position towards God, self, and the world. It is at the very center of what it means to be a Christian and to think theologically. That's, you know, that one, that takes me a long time to think through that one. So, And that's what it takes. I mean, this is not something that we just flip a switch on and we're there. This is something that is part of the sanctification part of our salvation. We're justified. Now we're becoming like God again, hospitable, the way that He is in His strength and in His power. Okay? Any thoughts or questions so far? I don't want to hog the time, but please feel free to speak up at any time. And challenge me, too. Please feel free to challenge me. Because I don't know this, all this stuff. You know, we're, you know, Peg and I are growing in this, and we're no different. We're all in the same boat. Okay? So here's some examples of hospitality of man to man. And we talked about these earlier when Peg opened the discussion. Strangers, aliens, needy people, hungry, naked, unprotected, sick, enemies, Christian brothers, missionaries. God has called us, 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11, to be able to be those people to express that love that we talked about that is at the heart of hospitality towards others as stewards of His manifold grace. Okay? So everywhere that we look, we can back it up with Scripture. Examples of hospitality of man to God. That might sound a little unusual, but one of the cases of that was when the angels came to Abraham and, he brought them in. What did he do? He fed them. He had them sit down at the table. They were strangers. He knew they were something special, but what did they do? They fixed them a meal, and they had fellowship with them. So we know that bringing people into our homes and having a meal with them, there's something special about that. That really means something. So that's, man expressing hospitality back to God. Again, Luke 24, Jesus on the road to Emmaus. The guys that were with him and stuff, walking along with him. And then Jesus says in Matthew 25, what you do to the least of these, you do unto me. So when we serve someone, when we show them hospitality, it's like we're doing it to Christ. That's a testimony of that. Okay, thoughts, questions? We're about ready to wrap it up here. Here's next week's primer. There's a tension of being holy and hospitable, isn't there? If I were to walk up to you and say, Al Sanger's, our man, and he's been putting the greeter schedule together and really handled this thing well, I'd like you to go talk to him about getting on the greeter schedule. How would you feel? That's a challenge. I mean, it's calling us to step out maybe of our comfort zone. So we come up with this tension. We can feel that tension. The call to holiness and the call to hospitality are often heard in tension with one another. How can we be both separate, holy, and welcoming, hospitable? In a world of sin, how can we actually interact, with sinful people without becoming like that? Can it be done? Sure it can. Jesus did it. And He's saying if we depend on Him and walk in Him, we can do it too. Okay? So how does discipleship and evangelism relate to all this? How does the church go out about being in but not of the world? To me it seems like it's easier for an individual, but how do you get a whole body of believers to do this? We're missionaries. And we've been involved in two church splits. And when you look at it, you think, the mission field we were on, the missionaries couldn't get along. We wouldn't submit to the leader in the country because we had our own ideas and stuff. And we're sitting there, God, how can you do anything? We're such a mess. So, how does the church go about pulling this thing off? Without becoming like the world, without becoming a mess. How can we befriend sinners without becoming friends of the world? And then, is my ability to be hospitable limited to my personality type? Whether I'm introverted or whether I'm extroverted? Is it limited by my giftedness? Or is it limited by my love language? It's been obvious to me in our marriage that Peg has I don't even know if it's a gift of hospitality, but she has a sense of it and she practices it regularly. And I've come on board with her. God's used her life to refine me in that way. And I tell you what, it's not me to go out there and open those doors for people and greet them. I've had a huge problem with insecurity all of my life, but God is pulling me out of that. So, you know, what things limited us from being hospitable? And if they are, can God, you know, rise us above that? I know I've had the tendency, you know, to read all these books and become psychologized. I was a psych nurse for 7 years. And then to fall in and believe that this is the way it is. And then I lose track of the fact that God is above it. And He can take me beyond these things and do stuff through me that, you know, if I look at my limitations through that window, I won't ever get involved in it. So here's what I'd like you to do for next week. I'd like you to take Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. And I'd like you to do what we've been doing some this morning. And I just want you to meditate on those verses. Let me read them to you real quick. It says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves." Are you hearing the Trinity in there? You hearing the work of the Trinity? How they get along and do that? "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests." It doesn't say don't look out for yourself. It doesn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, it tells us to look out for our own personal interests. But while we're doing that, also it's of others. See, do you hear the Trinity? Do you hear the source of hospitality? "Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus." Now he's really taking it home. "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He took the rights that he had as God at that time, remained God, but he submitted to the Father for our benefit. And he gave all that stuff up for us." That's his hospitality towards us. "Taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So what are we being challenged to here in hospitality in those verses? Meditate on those verses next week. We'll break that down a little bit more. We'll take a look at God's impact of hospitality on the church, and then we'll take a look at the impact of God's hospitality on the world through the church. And that's what we'll be looking at next week. So bring your notes that you have, bring them back with you, and we'll probably refer back to those, and then I'll have some more for you. So thank you very much for your time this morning, for interacting, being part of this. It's just amazing the work that God is doing, not just here, but around the world, and that He, in fact, is building the church that the gates of hell can't stand against. Let's pray. Father, we just come to You in recognition of the fact that You are the source of life. You are self-sufficient. You've always been there. We don't get this stuff to, our minds can't get wrapped around it, but we can get enough of it to know that we can trust You in it. Father, we can look back on our experiences and we can see where You have faithfully stuck with us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our rebellion, and You still pursue us and draw us out. And You pour Your hospitality into us. God, we thank You that You have called us to be an expression of Yourself in the world around us, to be separate from us. Not to live in it, Father, but to live outside of it in a way that is going to attract other people to You, to Your glory, not to us, but to You, that they may be saved and that they may spend eternity praising You, worshiping You, and giving You the glory that is due Your name. Father, help us to understand this. Stir up a passion in us to own this and to become part of it, that we may become laborers in the harvest of souls for heaven and to discipleship. God, just take us and use us for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.